The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We're going to read a lot today. You're going to be taking a lot of notes today because I'm on an assignment from the Lord, because I want to get all of us in here to dream again. I've talked to many of you, and you've heard the vision. We say it every single week, and I've had some responses as, you know, I haven't even dreamed in years. I don't know what my dream is. I don't really know. Some look and just kind of like, no, that's really not for me. That might be for kids. And so over the next few weeks, my assignment from the Lord is to just have us dream again. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 says this: "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel.'" Now, let me give you context. If you read the verses earlier, the first 14 verses, Jesus had told the disciples to wait for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And 120 men, some women, went up to the upper room. And the Bible says that they were waiting in one place. They had been praying. And it said, and suddenly, like a rushing mighty wind, the presence of God came, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. Well, those who were watching on the outskirts said, these people are drunk early in the morning. They're cuckoo. Peter steps in and says, no, they're not cuckoo. This is actually what was spoken about way before when Joel actually said it. Now, Joel said it in Joel chapter 2. If you read that text, you'll find the actual prophecy. Now, here, Peter says, this is what was spoken about way back when. It was declared way back when. It was God's dream for this moment now, and it has occurred. Verse 17. "And it shall come to pass," this is the prophecy that he's saying, "it shall come to pass in the last days, God says, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. My men servant and maid servants will I pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." He says, look, read it again. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall see dreams." What he's saying here, you can leave that verse up, is here in this season of life, when you have an encounter with the Spirit of God, you are going to be able to declare, prophesy. You will declare what God has seen and God says to you. You will declare it. He says, but not only that, I will give you a photo of everything that I see here, and it will be declared to you. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but only, not only that, there is also a motion picture aspect that I call dreams. So let me break it down. You and I have text capabilities, right? I text to you what I want to get you to understand or know about what's going to happen, or something that I want to say to you. For example, we're going to McDonald's. I say, let's go to McDonald's after church, right? I text it to you. If I want to get more detail, I'll take a photo of the McDonald's where I am. Meet me, McDonald's on Narcoosie. I send it to you. If I want to get at a greater detailed level of understanding, I take out my phone and I say, hey, this is Damon. I'm right outside of the Narcoosie McDonald's. Here it is. Take a look. This is your road. When you come through the door, here's the menu. This is what they have on sale. Number one, Big Mac. It's $5.69. You'll meet me here. I'll be sitting right here at this booth when you walk in. Meet me here. I send it to you, Damon. So God says, I will speak to you through my spoken word. I'll speak to you through a photo, and I'll speak to you through a motion picture. How many of y'all do that? How many of y'all send a text? You send a photo or you send a video. Anybody? God says, I speak to you the same way. In this season, when my spirit is poured out, I'll speak to you through my words. I'll speak to you through a photo, and I'll speak to you through a video. My assignment today is to get us to the motion picture, to where you and I are dreaming again based on what God sees for us, and we allow him to show us the preview. The video clip that I showed you earlier was, and we're not preaching on movies, but it was a video clip of the movie Rudy. And in the movie Rudy, Rudy has this dream, and no one believes in it except for himself and his friend. And Rudy does everything possible to make this dream come true. He's playing football. He's got everything in his room that is Notre Dame. But yet he has a limitation. He's only 5'3". Dreams can be put in a box by our own limitations or the limitations of others. But there is still something innately on the inside of you that can look past all of your obstacles and say, this is what I'm dreaming about and I'm called to. The only limits that exist are the ones that you and I allow. Y'all okay? In the text that I read, it says that you'll hear something spoken, you'll see a picture, and you'll see a video. Can I tell you that dreams are heaven's periscope? Anybody got that app? It might be dated today because now they do Facebook Live, but there was this app called Periscope, and Periscope would let you see everything that was taking place in the moment. And people would watch as it was playing out. Dreams are heaven's periscope. Jesus said when you pray in Matthew chapter 6, he says, you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as you and I are praying, we don't want just to have a goal. We want to have a God dream, because a God dream is the periscope of heaven coming down to you on earth. When you and I are dreaming dreams, we want to be able to see what God is thinking about us, and we want to have a snapshot so that I can look at my circumstance, look at my problem, say, that's not what God's thinking about me. He wants me to play for Notre Dame. Everything around me tells me it's not possible, but deep down inside, God's called me to dream again. Are you with me? So heaven has a film crew of your life, and God is going, dream again. If you're taking notes, write this down. The Holy Spirit shows you things, both fun and serious, you can never do on your own. He says you're going to prophesy, see visions, have dreams. But the only way is if my spirit does that. I can dream about a lot of things, and I could be missing it 100%. My life could be real good, but if I haven't had the Holy Spirit to drop it in me, I'm doing my own thing. It's a scary thing to know that you could go most of your life and not be in the dream that God has for you. Think about it. My level of success is not God's level of success. What if I'm making X, but God's like, I want you to make X? What if I'm living here and God's like, I want you to live here? Could it be that you and I limit our own dreams and God's going, please take the limits off? The more encounters I have with God, the more I see what he's thinking about me, the more I'm dreaming about the things that he's dreaming about for me. Jeremiah says that the thoughts that God thinks towards us are thoughts that are really good, that give us an expectation of hope and an amazing future. Jeremiah 29:11. That's contrary sometimes to the life that you and I will lead. First Corinthians chapter 2 Verse 9 through 12 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given freely to us by God. That scripture says that there are things that God has for you that you don't even know yet, but he's waiting to tell you. Have you ever thought to yourself, there's got to be more? Anybody? No, I mean, come on. You could be living deluxe apartment in the sky. And you could still be thinking, there's got to be more. Have you ever asked yourself a follow-up question to, is there more? Have you ever followed it up with, Lord, am I missing something to the response that I just asked you about? Have you ever followed up your question with a question? Is there more? But then going, what's limiting me from having more? Why is it that I feel like there's more? How about this one? Have you ever squashed yourself from wanting more? Anybody? Have you ever compared yourself, watch now, have you ever compared yourself to somebody that in your eyes you say they have less than you? And then all of a sudden you put yourself in a box of, then I'm okay where I am? Have you ever been sick, wanting healing, but then you see someone else that may be sick and you go, but at least I'm not there. I'm okay. Nobody? You've never put yourself in a position to where you have felt like there's more, but you've kind of talked yourself back from really wanting more. Have you ever felt like you didn't deserve more, maybe because of your past? I know I've been there. I've made some mistakes that literally could disqualify me from some of the dreams that I have. And so what I do is I tell God why he shouldn't give me such a big dream. I know I'm just asking tons of questions, but this is just practical. Have you ever had something mess up? You made a mistake. Maybe your credit's bad. And you've told yourself, I don't need a house because my credit's bad. Anybody? Have you ever put yourself in a box based on your current situation and you totally eliminate God's capabilities? Have you ever done that? It's contrary to what God wants to do through you. See, when he pours out his Spirit and you prophesy, you dream dreams, you have vision, it has little to do with you and more to do with his purpose through you. You and I get to live the adventure, but the ultimate response of the adventure is so that God can be glorified and people can know him. That's the reason why he gave you the six-figure job, so that you can be generous in the kingdom, not so that you can just enjoy the house. The reason why he brought you from an addiction was not so that you can say, I'm sober today, but that you can reach down and grab somebody else and say, if Jesus did it for me, he can do it for you. The reason why you didn't make it all the way to the divorce table and you said, let's give it one more chance, is because there's some young couple somewhere who argued the whole first year and they said, we have made a mistake. And God said, wait. That's your story because you're a funnel. See, the dreams of our life are only limited by what we allow. But my assignment over the next few weeks is to get you to dream again. Flip over with me to Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 28, there is a guy by the name of Jacob who, in many ways, he's almost like me and like you. He is the son of a mother and a father who were barren. And God gives them two sons. He's got a brother named Esau. The Bible says that Jacob, while they were in the womb, they were wrestling because he wanted to get out first. There was something on the inside of Jacob, even in his mama's womb, where he said, I want it to be all about me. And so the story goes that they were wrestling to get out. Esau gets out. And from that time, Jacob was conniving so that he could always be first. And so when we get to Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is on the run. He has deceived his brother. He's got the blessing from his father, which means he gets the inheritance. He jumped in from his father. He deceived his dad, made his dad feel like he was his brother when he wasn't his brother. It was like soap opera. Anybody ever watch Dallas, older people? Y'all remember Dallas, J.R. Ewing? He would be shot. No, he's not. He's behind the chair. Hello, Sue Ellen. What? Y'all ain't think I was that old, did you? My mama used to make me sit beside her and watch it. I was trying to get with the Dukes of Hazzard, the A-Team, Dallas. Y'all know? Soap operas, General Hospital, Luke and Laura. How many times can Luke fall off the bridge in the waterfall? Y'all don't think I know that. Do y'all know? Serious story. I was so scarred as a kid because my mom watched soap operas, and you know how it is when you grow up. You only have one TV, and you have to share. I am trying to watch cartoons. Sesame Street is on. PBS, because that was on all day. That was all day cartoons back in the day. PBS, I knew I would be able to watch Curious George, something. Nah, son, it's 3 o'clock. ABC is what we're watching. You have a seat right here. Do you know, folks? Hear me now. From someone that is broken, is being repaired. When I got to college, I planned my schedule around my soaps. And my mom had so indoctrinated me, they weren't soaps no more, they were my stories. Anybody? My mom, she made them her stories. That's what she used to call them. Hey, don't y'all be messing with my stories. She would make me record them. She would call me, Damon, I'm heading out to work. You make sure you record my stories. My education was impacted because of my stories. I have no clue where I was going. I'm way off on a tangent. Jacob, in Genesis chapter 28, is living. See, the Holy Spirit's with me right now. Let's see that. Visions. Dreams. He gave me a picture like people are about to leave if you don't get back on track. So mass exodus. Come back. Sorry. That's the picture that I saw. If I don't get you guys to the end of our story. So in Genesis chapter 28, he's living a soap opera. He has deceived his brother with the help of his mom. It's a great read. Read the previous chapter in 27, 26 of Genesis. And we get to this place where Jacob is all by himself. He has been running, fleeing from his past, feeling insignificant because he feels like his past is going to chase him down and kill him. His past is going to eliminate his future. Can I just tell you right now that your past may be chasing you, but it cannot eliminate your future. Do you hear me? Your past might chase you, but it has no power in your future. Watch. So in this story, it says this in verse 10. It says, now Jacob went from Beersheba, went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, put it at his head, laid it down in the place to sleep. Then he dreamed. Everybody say dream. Come on, say dream. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth. It was reaching heaven, and the angels of God were going up and down it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, Jacob, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, here's the picture and the motion picture, watch it now. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So in this dream, watch now, God says, here's a picture. Right where you are, where you're laying your head, belongs to you. Then he says, now the motion picture, everywhere you are, to the left and to the right, everything you see, I've given to you. Now, at some point, all of your descendants are going to own all of this. Through you, people are going to be blessed. Now, just so you know, as you're walking out there, picture me being with you wherever you go. Then he says this, everything that I have told you, I will do. So he sends him a text message, gives him a picture, and then, of course, we read that he dreamed. Have you ever been in a place where there's been something that left on the inside of you and it just stayed there? Has there ever been anything that left inside of you and you've asked yourself, was that for me? Have you ever done that? You've dreamed something, you've had a snapshot. Maybe somebody encouraged you with something that you knew was for you, but you just kind of said, is that for me? Have you ever asked yourself, is that for me? Jacob does the same thing. Watch this. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't even know it. And he was afraid and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put his head on. He set it up as a pillar, a foundation, and he poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I am going, I will give and give me bread to eat, clothing to put on, so that I can come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, should be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth. Here's a fact that I want you to write down. If you don't have a dream, you will wander aimlessly. He was all over the place. My brother's coming after me. I don't know what to do. I've hurt so many people. I've been a deceiver. I've been lost. God says, lay down, dream. God shows him this motion picture. The angels are going up and down, up and down, up and down. He wakes up in the morning. He says, now, wait a second. God was here. I didn't even know it. But he has a response. And he takes from moving all over the place out of fear. And he says, what I just saw, I'm going to immediately act on. And he says, this place where I am right now will be the beginning place of the dream that you just gave me. I'm not running anymore. Based on what you've shown me, the film that I've just seen, I'm going to act on this thing right now. I see it, and I'm dropping it down. I have a tendency to dream. I'm a dreamer. I have a tendency to dream, but I have a greater tendency of leaving my dream when I wake up. Have you ever had a dream and then you go, whew, that was some dream? And then you go through your day. Jacob gives us a really good response to the dream. He acts on the dream. Here's how you and I can act on the dream. Maybe it's going up and down. Maybe we have the same dream. Here's an act that we could take from Jacob. We might not be able to build a temple, but we could come in and serve in God's house. The other thing we can do is I can go, God, now, I just had this dream. You were on a ladder, and there were a lot of angels going up and down that ladder. What does that mean to me? I immediately put value on what God has just shown me and not just woke up and did my thing like I always do. I place a value on what God has shown me because I realize that it's the Holy Spirit that allows me to see things that are beyond my reach and I can't do on my own. Are y'all with me? See, when God shows us something, we can no longer go, ah, what an amazing dream. I have a tendency to go, Taisha, I had this dream last night, right? That I met such and such. And it was so real to me. Like, I walked up to him and we were talking. And then I go, whoop. I wonder if the Lord was trying to show me that there was going to be a connection with someone that seemed beyond my reach. I might go, what? I can't believe I just met Magic Johnson in my dream. Come on. I'm serious. And I wake up and it's so real. What if God was saying, Damon, the level of influence, that if you will focus on this moment and ask me what I was trying to say, maybe Irvin Johnson plays a role in what City Place Church wants to do. I don't know. I'm just throwing you out dreams. Literally, Magic Johnson as a kid was my favorite player. And honestly, I would ask God for an opportunity to meet him. And he would always be like 5 or 10 steps away, and I could never get to him. And what's funny is even in my 40s, I still have dreams where Magic is close to me. Now, notice that I said the Holy Spirit will give you things that are fun and serious. It's not super spiritual to believe that God can give you something that you can enjoy too. I'm 40, Magic's like 55. The kid in me still wants to meet Irvin Johnson. So the day that I meet him, I'm going to tell you. Why are you laughing? Watch this. Last week, Taisha preached on the accountability that we have in neighboring. And I told everybody, I said, my neighbor moved out, didn't even know. I said, but I feel like I'm supposed to stay connected to him. So I said, I'm going to pray that he comes back through the neighborhood so that I can connect. Do you know that the very next day, my neighbor came driving up in the neighborhood, and I was like, this is what I did. I was like, he's in the neighborhood. Should I go? And I was like, that was on my heart to do. So I went over to him, and I said, hey, John, you're moving out of the neighborhood. Can we stay connected? Now, my desire is not to necessarily stay all connected to John. Because when I'm home by myself, I'm an introvert. I don't want to know anybody. But God's desire for me is to be connected to John. I could take that serious or fun. What if John goes through a season of life and nobody else believes in him, but I'm assigned to him? I'm just telling you that just in a week, God allowed me to meet John when I was saying, God, give me another opportunity. Irvin's right around the corner. So God gives you these dreams. Jacob says, I'm putting it right into practice today. Proverbs chapter 29 says this. I love it. It says in the Message Bible, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Can you imagine if God is in heaven and he's looking at us and he's like, they surely are stumbling. But you and I are like, we live in a life, we live in a life, we live in a life. And he's like, oh my God, they need to get some focus. Can you imagine that we are just running all over the place? How many of y'all say, I'm so busy? Why am I busy? Write this down. Here's why dreams don't happen. Here's why dreams don't happen. Dreams don't happen because we have a wrong view of life, a wrong view of ourselves, and a wrong view of God. Jacob, I can't believe I've done this with my brother, to my family. I can't believe it. God says, hey, whoa, you're looking through your own perspective. I want to have an encounter with you. You've been limiting yourself. You're thinking that I can't use you. You're thinking that dreams aren't for you because you're older. You're thinking that dreams aren't for you because of your past. What I'm trying to tell you is that you have a wrong view of yourself. You have a wrong view of your life, and you have a wrong view of me. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Watch this. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Here's what the Lord was showing me last night. He says, it's not just about the individual. This verse is talking about the individual, but watch this. As I think in my heart, so is he. The way God is in my heart is the way that he will respond. So if God is small, he'll be small. If God don't heal, he won't heal. If God don't bless, he won't bless. As I think in my heart, so is he. Y'all with me? Numbers chapter 13. I told y'all we'd read a lot of verses. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33 says, then we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. But here's what I love. God has a way of stepping in to letting us know that his vantage point is totally different. He tells Jacob, he says, Jacob, I'm giving you all of this, and I will never leave you or forsake you, and everything that I've shown you and told you, I will do. Isaiah chapter 40, if you're writing Isaiah chapter 40, 26 through 31, God says, look into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling them by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run, not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The God that you serve is bigger than you can imagine. He can say, star number one, you Johnny. Star number two, Cheryl. I don't know what he calls them. Star number three, what I gave you. He's that big. He knows them by name. Therefore, that leads me to believe that your dreams, he goes, that's for Lily. Oh, Mary's dream. Here you go. Alan's dream. Take a look at door number one. He says, don't put me in a box, because even when you're weak, I can make you strong. He says, I realize that sometimes you're going to ride the roller coaster of emotion, but don't forget, I'm with you. I'll make you strong. I love the fact that he tells you, I realize that you will grow weak, but don't worry, in my arsenal is strength. I will sit you high. You can soar like an eagle. Have you ever seen an eagle really have to overwork? They go like this, ha! I'm serious. They go miles on. Huh. He didn't say, I raise you high like a bird. A bird, an eagle. Oh. And an eagle never dwells in low places. They always dwell in a vantage point that gives them the advantage. Y'all all right? The fact is, your capacity for dreaming, worship team, you can come back up. The capacity for dreaming has not been reached, and it's not limited. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this in the Message Bible. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. There is no limit to your capacity to dream. You haven't reached it. You haven't hit some magical milestone where he says, oh, turn the lights off when dreaming. He said in the book of Acts, he says, hey, sons and daughters, you're going to speak what I tell you to say. I'm going to give you a picture, and you're going to enjoy it. McDonald's. Then he said, there's a motion picture that's about to play out, and you're going to be in it. You are the star. And I'm going to do all of that for you. Because at the end of the day, when you tell people who brought it to pass, you're going to bounce it back to me. And they're going to have an encounter with me based on the story that you fulfilled. So as I close this morning, here's what I want to tell you. I want to just tell you that it's time to dream again. It's time to dream again.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.